Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're live down here at Gillette Stadium. Time for us to sit down, talk with the coach. Brought to you by Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health. McFarland Energy, the area's premier heating oil provider. Needham Bank. Can we be your bank and buy your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealer? Bill, how are you today?
Good, Glenn. How's it going?
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Coach. Lou.
6-0, a win on Thursday night. Now you got all of this time off before you play on Monday. So give it you a chance to maybe look at some stuff through the first six games, a little extra breathing room before this next game to figure out what you need to really work on?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely gives us opportunity here third of the way through the season to look back and try to just see where we are on some things and take a look going forward.
Yeah, I want to go back to just the Thursday night's game real quick because you guys stayed in one personnel grouping almost the entire second half. I know it's not unheard of, but and I know every win is important and it's rewarding, but was this one a little bit more rewarding based on the fact that how you guys were able to navigate it and just kind of overcome all the adversity that you guys had to deal with in that second half? Injuries?
That's, as you know, that's the NFL. So that's always, it's always challenging. We had some guys really step up and, we didn't have a lot of flexibility, so I thought the players, coaches did a good job of, managing the situation and making it work.
So guys like Jacoby Myers and Gunner, I know Brady's talked a lot about, you want to rely on your veterans, the young kids. Maybe it's not fair to count on them, but those two guys in particular, along with Izzo, I would imagine, stepped up and maybe not a normal role that they're accustomed to when everybody's healthy.
Yeah, no, those guys played a lot of football. But again, that's the way it is. You go into the game, you're one play away from having to play a lot at whatever position you play. So that's the way it worked out. And, they did some positive things. It wasn't perfect, but they did some positive things.
When you look at your defense, and it's been so good, is it tempting sometimes to be careful as to what you say on a daily basis to the defense? Because I know a lot of these press conferences you do, people are trying to get you to say this about Jamie Collins or this about another player. They've been terrific, don't get me wrong. But we're six games into the season. And I know you always take the very cautious route when you're dealing about the completion of what it is at the end of the season.
Yeah, well, we're week to week. So, whatever happened last week or didn't happen last week, I don't know how much bearing that has on this coming game. So we have to prepare for this game and get ready in all three phases for the Jets and what they do and how they're going to attack us and, what we can do about it. So that's really where we're at this week. It's not about what did or didn't happen in the past.
But you know the outside noise, this is a historically great defense.
Yeah, that's the way it always is. Right. Yeah.
What do you think of the nickname, the Boogeymen, for your linebackers? They've come up with this thing.
Yeah, again, worse folks than the Jets. Yeah. I'll let them worry about that.
Coach, there was Jacob Johnson is on IR. It's been reported that Ben Watson was re-signed. Just want to know if there's anything official on your end.
Okay.
Got a roster spot, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yock's going to go on IR. Yes.
So Yock's on IR. Devlin's on IR. So no fullback. I guess no technically fullback on the roster. Can you guys, anybody on the roster that could jump in there and play that position?
Well, again, that's kind of the first question we had is kind of looking at where we are and what our options are and seeing what we can do. So that's what we're looking at.
So is there like a Richard Seymour type that you can put back there, a Tom Ashworth or a Dan Klecko?
I don't think Dan's on the roster.
of that guy, like guy like him.
Yeah. Again, it's a question of what you want to try to do, what your options are, and what the commitment is and so forth. So we'll look at all of it and try to do what we think is best.
I know today you talked about getting N'Keal Harry back and what's in store and what's in front of him as far as physically, mentally getting back into this. I'm just curious, going back to camp, what you saw in him. Obviously, first round wide receiver, big physical guy. What did you see in camp that maybe would get you excited to have this guy back, or just think that he can help you in a few weeks from now?
Yeah, well, we only saw him for 2 weeks in camp. He was injured in the Detroit game, and he's making progress, but he had a long way to go, and some time's passed, so he's been able to do some things. There's been other things he hasn't been able to do. If and when he gets back on the field, then we'll move from there and evaluate those areas.
You're talking about getting back up to speed, you know, practicing at a level you guys are at right now. Is it hard enough probably for a veteran to kind of miss this amount of time, let alone is it even harder for a rookie coming in and trying to get reacquainted with Brady in this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to rank them, but it is what it is. We'll take it one day at a time, and whatever we can do, we'll do, and try to improve from one day to the next and see where it takes us.
But he's been getting mental reps, and he's in meetings, sitting with the team. It's not like he's...
Yeah, sure.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of coaches this weekend are displeased. Not a single coach won a challenge for pass interference, the new rule this year, Bill, or the no call in week six. The original call has been upheld on 24 of the past 25 PI challenges. And it looks like they're trying to prevent a disaster from like what happened in the NFC Championship game in New Orleans. Does it in any way, looking at the results of that, taint the way you would throw the red flag out there and challenge one of these PI calls? Because when you look at the replay of these, certainly it looks like it could be overturned. And even the guys, the analysts, who are the former referees who are sitting in the broadcast booth now, are sitting there going, I don't know what they're seeing. Clearly, that's pass interference, but they're not calling it. They're not overturning it.
Well, I think it's been pretty clear that the league's come out and said it has to be clear and obvious. And what the definition of that is, I'm not sure, but it's. I don't think there can be much gray area, or they're not gonna. It's not clear and obvious. So, I mean, I can see most of what they've. I haven't studied all of them, but a lot of the ones that have been, I've observed or been in our games, I can see why they were called the way they were. Look, there's a lot of close calls in this league. I mean, so many calls go either way. It's so competitive. The athletes are spectacular, and it's such a fine line. But when it's not clear and obvious, then they're clearly not going to overturn it. They've said that.
So clearly is something that they're trying to prevent what happened in New Orleans last year. So if you get something that in any way that you think is close, you're going to pass on it.
Well, no, I didn't say that. We would look at it. If it's obvious to us that the call was missed, then I would challenge it, yeah. But it would have to be clear and obvious.
All right, so Sam Darnold this week. I'm assuming you probably already, if you didn't watch the game, maybe you already kind of evaluated it.
Yeah.
How has he changed? Only second game of the season, so maybe there's not much there. But how has he changed since last year?
Well, we saw him in the opener against Buffalo. I mean, Sam's a very talented player. He's a big, strong kid that can make all the throws and is athletic and run and is strong in the pocket. He can hold off rushers and throw guys hanging on him and that type of thing. He has a lot of confidence, and I'm sure they have a lot of confidence in him and the things he can do.
This changes their offense, I would imagine, from the last time you saw them, obviously. He kind of opens things up more, you know, rather than Luke Falk back there at quarterback.
I mean, Sam's a very good, talented player, and he made a big throw to Anderson, but he had several good throws in the game. Yeah. Hit a lot of play action passes, and again, is strong in the pocket, and he's a hard guy to bring down.
You know, I'll go back to that game on Thursday night. You guys in that goal line situation. I know Brady ran a couple of them in, and because of the injuries up front, I know that one time Bolden actually got the ball at the goal line. What went into that as opposed to maybe Sony Michel, who normally is that goal line guy?
On the touchdown.
The touchdown, I think he ran it in.
Brandon's a big back. Brandon can play on all downs. So can Sony. So, I mean, whoever's in there, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It wasn't personnel or anything, or just...
Oh, I mean, we substitute different people for different reasons, but it's every time we put Sony in and run the ball. I mean, pretty much anybody can figure that out, Lou.
Hey, says Brandon Bolden earned more reps based on his accomplishments and just kind of always kind of making plays when he gets the opportunity?
Sure he has, and he's gotten some opportunities this year based on James White missed a game and Rex has missed a little time, so he's kind of our fourth back, but really become our third back in situations. And he's a good one because he can play on all four downs, first, second, third, and of course, fourth down. So he's a very valuable player for us.
Getting back to Darnold and the Jets, do you think they'll open some stuff up? Adam Gase is a terrific coach when it comes to quarterbacks and whatever, because of the skill set that Darnold has compared to what they've used, that they're probably going to open some things up on Monday's game.
Well, yeah, Adam's a very good play caller, coordinator, and game planner. And we certainly had plenty of trouble with him in the past, and had some with him in the first game this year. So I'm sure that he'll create problems for us, as he always does. And he has a good quarterback. He is very good running back and excellent receivers and tight end that can all catch and be productive and have different roles. So he does an excellent job of using those guys. He used Powell and Montgomery as backs along with Bell last week, and same thing with the receivers, moves them around in different locations and mixes the tight ends in and so forth. So his game planning is good, and I'm sure he'll create problems for us. He always does.
Is there a certain method that you teach to deal with Levy and Bell? He seems to be different than most runners. There is that stutter step day where he freezes you for a split second. Is there something to the way you defend a guy like that, running back?
Well, like any run back, if they have space, it's trouble. If there's no hole, then it's hard. So best thing we can do is not let him get started, and that goes for all backs, just to play with good gap control and leverage and maintain our position and not create those spaces for him. It's easier said than done, but that's the objective.
Yeah, I don't know what the how many times you've actually gone against Greg Williams, whether as a head coach or a defensive coordinator. I'm sure it's a lot because you guys have both been in the league a long period of time.
Yeah, it's been a few times.
Yeah, but but what's the most challenging thing about going against a Greg Williams defense?
Well, they mix it up. They'll pressure, they'll play man, and they'll play zone. And they have different ways of doing all those things. So, but they keep you off balance. But you know you're going to get pressured one way or another. So they attack the line of scrimmage, and they have good players on the front, very disruptive players on the front. And then you have to deal with secondary pressure, linebacker pressure, and what looks like pressure, but it's not. It's coverage, and it could be man or zone backing out of it. And so he does a good job of keeping you off balance, keeping you moving, and forcing communication on your line and with your blocking patterns. And if you make a mistake, then they can send a free runner in there. So
kind of like with Jamal Adams on the 2-point conversion in last night's game, they go for two. Jamal Adams comes from depth. I think it was depth. Sneaks his way through there, and it was a big part of why that play was incomplete.
Right. Well, Dallas is in an empty formation, so they had five blockers. Jeff brought six guys, so somebody would have been free. The rusher got there about the same time Prescott released the ball, and it was an incomplete pass. But that's anytime it brings six against five, somebody's going to be free. So that's
right up the middle.
You just got to beat it. Yeah.
We were just talking big picture on the league. Like last year, it seemed like these offensive minded teams were the better teams in the league. Whereas this year, yourself and Buffalo and San Fran, more defense. Do you see a trend? Do you see, because it seems like all the penalties of the league changes rules kind of helps the offense, yet this year it seems like the better teams are the better defending teams. Is there a trend?
Some of those teams I haven't even seen. I haven't seen San Francisco. I'm sure they're good. But I'm just really going to focus on our team and try to get us ready to go this week against the Jets. It's really all we can control, and that's where our vision is. Yeah.
You know how this works nationally. You've got a guy like Edelman, and people look at him as a small little slot receiver and
squirrel.
Yeah, a little squirrel. And when they're talking about the real productive receivers in the league, they don't include him in that group. And a lot of people are doing that right now. And you watch this team on a week-to-week basis, and you obviously see how valuable he is in moving those chains. But even more so, and that it's clear he's been beaten up. He had the rib issue or whatever the hell it was. And yet he keeps on showing up, perfect attendance for you every single day and every single week. I mean, how valuable is that? Because you see him, you know how much he is to your offense. I'm not sure nationally they're viewing it that way.
Yeah, Julian's a very important part of the team. He's very tough. He's a good route runner. He's good with the ball in his hands. He's a good blocker. He really helps us a lot in the running game. He's made some key blocks for us to get guys started on the perimeter plays and to block the force on the inside plays and off tackle plays and things like that. So he has a lot of key roles in the game, and he does a great job of them. He works very hard and takes a lot of pride in his job, and we know he's tough, and you know he's taking some hits and he gives some out, but that's his style of play. He's been a good, very good player for us for a long time, and he's doing a great job this year.
Still can get separation even in the double team, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, he's got good quickness, good route running ability. He ran a good stutter move on the combo's quarter coverage, and Tom made a good throw. We had great protection, so had plenty of time to execute that play. But those are things you sometimes got to take advantage of. If they're doubling you, then sometimes there's space in those doubles if you can hit it right.
I was curious if you saw any of the taped, or probably on tape, whatever, or any of the comments from Rob Gronkowski's debut on Fox.
No, I
missed it. Did you happen to see him pregame?
No, I missed it.
Well,
I think I was busy.
He was a joke. You were
coaching that night. That's right.
So Robert Kraft did say some interesting things to the NFL Network about his retirement papers not in. I know Brady talked a little bit about it this morning, and I'm just curious, a guy like this, retirement papers aren't in yet, is it sort of door open type thing, or it's up to Rob Gronkowski to feel if he wants to play again? How do you approach with a guy like that sort of floating out there?
Yeah, well, just working on the Jets, you'd have to ask Robert about those comments, or Rob, or I don't know, somebody else. But just trying to get our team ready to go against the Jets on Monday night. That's what we're on, and we'll do the best we can.
Do guys ever, guys on the team ever give you recommendations like, hey, sign my cousin. My cousin's pretty good.
Or my nephew.
You're my nephew. That's happened. Well, I mean, I'm speaking from
I've
experience.
Never heard that before.
I promise he's good. No, because, you know, that's the other thing. You know, Brady was talking about lobbying for, he doesn't lobby for players. I just wonder if, if some of the guys say, hey, listen, I'm not sure. Maybe there is a fullback out there and somebody knows a fullback that may be on the street that's maybe trying to get in the XFL and, hey, here he is, fullback.
Yeah, no, sure, that's definitely happened plenty of times. And we go to players quite frequently, especially guys that have played with a player somewhere else or maybe in college or something like that. And if they know about the player, we'll ask them about him and, you know, weigh that in with what else we know. And, sometimes that carries a lot of weight, you know, when they have firsthand knowledge of the player's skills that may not be as evident from the outside in. When you're on the team, a lot of times you're just more familiar with what the guy is, if you've covered him or played with him or so forth. So, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I'm going back to the fullback because is the fullback one of the hardest positions to find because they're not used a lot as they used to be, and there's not a lot in college anymore? I mean, there's not a lot of options.
Yeah, well, right. There's not a lot of fullbacks in college. Yeah. I'd say probably at least half of the fullbacks, or close to half of the fullbacks in the NFL, aren't fullbacks.
Converted.
There's James Devlin. Yeah. That was a college linebacker. Yeah. And so there's plenty of guys like that, too. And then there's some other fullbacks that are kind of halfbacks, like the Patrick Pass variety, or, Heath Evans was really a big back at Auburn and became a fullback. So just the true fullback position is it's not common to find those, and but that doesn't mean you can't develop one, but I'd say they're not a lot of them just sitting out around out there.
Yeah.
Do you have to change up a lot if you don't have one, because you've used one quite a bit here in the last few years?
Yeah, when you say quite a bit, I mean I don't think we've had a fullback on the field, you know, over 30% of the time very often, somewhere in the, like, I'd say 25-30% range. So, and some of that's situational, you know, goal line, short yardage, and, you know, 4-minute offense, things like that. So certainly there's a place for it, and it's been a key part of our offense, but there are plenty of plays where we don't have a fullback on the field as well. So if that's what it is, then that's what it is. If we can work that out, then great. Then, that, you know, we'll do what we feel like is best. Try to figure it out.
All right, you ready? So here we go. Drum roll, please. So here's our drive of the week, but I'm going to change it. I'm not going to do drive of the week.
Oh, all right. Boy, wrinkle. So
it's going to be a surprise. Well, Lou kind of screwed it up for me, but I'm going to go back there. I'll talk to you about it later.
Throw me a...
How'd you get blamed for this?
Yeah, it's
thank
his
you.
Fault.
Does this all the time, Bill.
Please. So the drive of the week
Christian.
Is brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers and the Mercedes-Benz certified pre-owned event going on now through October 31st. I thought the nickname was kind of interesting because people are trying to, you know, looking at your defense and how historic it could be, and they want to attach a name to it. So over the weekend, I did a show with Jermaine Wiggins, And I just want to give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down on Jermaine Wiggins, his suggestion. Defenders of defense.
Yeah, I'm not getting into the nickname business. We're just trying to.
How about the Sticky Bandits? Wait, have you ever had a nickname? Did you grow up? Because I know Glenn's was Little Earl.
It was not. Lou's,
yes, it was.
I've been called a lot of things. Yeah, I've been called Lou's a lot was, of things.
Would you be surprised if I told you Lou's nickname was Mouse?
I was a little guy.
He was tiny.
A little tiny guy. What do you want me to tell you? Squeaky.
What a shock. Bill's not in the nickname business.
Well, everybody grows up with a nickname right? No
yeah,
nicknames
but a nickname
at all.
Nickname for a defense. Yeah.
Well, we're not in the nickname, but I was curious if you ever had a nickname. Like your crew growing up.
Like I said,
up.
I've been called a lot of things. So.
Yes, you have.
A lot of them will keep off the air here.
Yeah, you can't say them on the radio.
Go ahead.
That's it. Just go buy a Mercedes.
Conversation with the Coach is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments and the New England Patriots, proud partners, committed to an active game plan on and off the field. Monday night football against the Jets. So I guess we'll see you here on Tuesday.
See you on Tuesday.
Good luck Monday night.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
see you later.
Lynn. Appreciate
Coach.
Thank
all
you.
Good luck.
All right.
Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.